Tom Carkle in the WRJN News Center. AccuWeather forecast for today. We are looking at cloudy conditions. We'll have a high of about 42 degrees. Right now in Kenosha, it's 36, 32 in Burlington, Milwaukee 39, 38 degrees in Racine. Less than overwhelmingly positive would describe the Racine Unified School Board's response to a work session proposal by administration for school start and end times, 9 a.m. to 4:11 p.m. for elementary schools, 8 a.m. to 3:26 p.m. for middle schoolers, 7 a.m. to 2:41 p.m. for the high schoolers. Communications Director Stacy Tapp noting both students and staff would benefit under the proposal.
The additional instructional minutes is there in the first bullet. As I talked about earlier, that survey, there was support for providing more time for music, art, and PE at the elementary level, so we're committed to using some of those additional minutes at the elementary level to increase time in those areas so that the classroom teachers have more plan time. We know that our elementary teachers have a lot less plan time than our middle and high school teachers.
Board member Matt Hanser flat out said he could not support it.
This goes against every bit of education research I've ever read. We start our youngest kids the latest, our oldest kids the earliest. And the National Sleep Foundation, education researchers for years have stated that that is way too early for our kids to be started. In 2001, when I walked into Case High School as a grad student with Cardinal Stritch University and saw a 7:10 start time, I almost fell on the floor.
Superintendent Lally Haw said making a few minor changes on times would end up negatively affecting many other parts of the particular plan.
Many options have been vetted, tried to come up with what we thought could work. But if the board's not going to support this generally, we just need to come out with a standard calendar.
Administration was hoping for a board vote December the 19th. Vice President Dennis Weiser suggesting a list of options be presented, which could actually delay start end times for schools by another year. UW System President Ray Cross approving a task force report that calls for all system employees and students to complete sexual violence and harassment training. Among the recommendations in that report, the training be conducted online to help ensure it's accessible to everybody. Development of website continuing a victim of sexual violence or harassment, connecting them with campus support services. Creation of a new Board of Regents policy that consolidates formerly separate sexual violence and harassment policies and helping with adoption of consistent policies all across the system. Task force is also recommending educational stakeholders from K-12 schools, technical and private colleges, and the UW system get together and discuss and share information about addressing this issue. Well, six Wisconsin counties are done counting their presidential ballots. State elections officials say the results are still the same. Counties around the rest of the state have until Saturday to finish the presidential count. Green Party candidate Jill Stein paying for the recount to prove that Donald Trump actually won, that Wisconsin's voting machines were not hacked. Meanwhile, Stein was in New York, pressing ahead with the effort to continue with the recount in the other states.
Stein brought her message to Donald Trump's doorstep, saying that she's pursuing recounts in several states to assure that votes are accurate, secure, just, and fair, and to make sure that every vote is counted.
I think the outcome will be very different in the minds of Americans. The outcome will be that we have an election system that we can trust.
She's particularly concerned about 75,000 so-called undervotes or blank votes in Michigan.
Raising the possibility that communities of color have been disenfranchised.
Furthermore, she claims that it's well documented some electronic voting machines are vulnerable to hacking. Steve Kastenbaum, New York.
In Racine County Circuit Court, the driver accused of slamming his car into the back of another vehicle driven by Deputy Police Chief Al Days earlier this year gets 2 years of probation from Judge Faye Flancher. 38-year-old Flandrick Williams pleading no contest to operating while intoxicated, causing injury back in October. Court documents showed that after his private vehicle was rear-ended on Washington Avenue at 12th Street back in January of this year, then-Lieutenant Al Days, who had suffered a concussion, went out of his vehicle, ran after the offending car, yelling for the operator to stop. Williams did eventually stop a short distance away and was arrested. In addition to the probation, he's got that 60 days in jail to serve an order of the judge in that case. A Union Grove man facing his eighth operating while intoxicated charge after an arrest last Friday along the West Frontage Road at 56th Street. Court documents had 52-year-old Dale Hadlock pulled over by a Racine County Sheriff's deputy, said he knew his driving privileges had been suspended, that he was bail jumping, and that the deputy might as well just arrest him. Adlock reportedly failed field sobriety tests and was taken into custody. His most recent OWI offense in Manitowoc County is still an active case, the judge there allowing Adlock's release from jail under conditions, which included absolute sobriety. Governor Walker has appointed attorney Wynn Laufenberg to serve as Racine County Circuit Court Judge, replacing Judge Gerald Patak, who announced he was going to retire in January. Laufenberg, right now a sole practitioner, a guardian ad litem, concentrating on family guardianship and juvenile law. She's also worked at the State Public Defender's Office for Racine County. In announcing the appointment, Governor Walker says Laufenberg, quote, has demonstrated a long history of service to Racine County, and her dedication to fundamental constitutional principles will serve as a great asset to both the bench and the surrounding community. Laufenberg will serve until April of 2018, the remainder of Judge Patak's term, then with a chance to run for the position and a full term on the bench. A resolution calling for a federal investigation of the Kenosha Community Health Center approved last night by the City Council. Representatives of that organization failed to attend the most recent council meeting to answer questions about its operation. Several of the aldermen have complained that center officials have simply refused to meet with them. KHCH Chief Operating Officer Alan Marshall was there at the meeting last night reading from a statement, said that the aldermen have not taken up their repeated offers to meet.
We have a responsibility to serve our patients and the community. It is something we take very seriously. This continued smear campaign against our organization is harming our staff, our patients, and our ability to recruit additional providers.
Alderman David Bogdala said he was hearing horror stories from patients, but despite that, he's not claiming any malfeasance on the part of the center's management. In addition to requesting the investigation by the Health Resources and Services Administration in Washington, the resolution calls for an evaluation of the effectiveness of the center's board of directors and executive director. Resolution adopted on a vote of 13-1. The Frank Lloyd Wright Trail formally dedicated yesterday, a 200-mile route through southern Wisconsin, which highlights the famed architect's work in the Badger State, including in Racine. Wisconsin is home to 41 Wright-designed buildings, including those on the S.C. Johnson campus in downtown Racine and on the company's Wingspread Center. By the end of the year, 115 route markers are going to be installed, part of Phase 1 of this project, including in Racine and in Kenosha counties. SCJ Senior VP of Global Corporate Affairs Kelly Semru put out a statement that says the company is thrilled that the Frank Lloyd Wright Trail is now officially open. They hope the trail signage they sponsored will benefit tourists from around the world as they experience Wright's legacy in our state. And it's anniversary week for WRJN Radio, and over the course of the last 90 years or so, it's been a wide variety of programming and an amazing lineup of announcers, including this group from the 1980s.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning, good morning. 10 minutes now before 6. I'm David P. McGrath, and once again, we have 22 degrees right now at WRJN.
Go in the snow with Lynx and Topaz. Just about everyone can use individual retirement annuity.
Well, we got Jim Bradley on the air. Somehow it was a miracle.
Dave McGrath, good guy. You're going to enjoy him on the air here. I'm Jim Bradley. This is the American Motor Show. Start of the weekday, Monday, January 30th. We wind down this first month of 1984. Don Edmark standing by the news.
Speaking for WRJN Radio News, Don Edmark.
David P. McGrath replacing Jim Sorensen, Frenchie Bouton, Bob Cook on commercials, Jim Bradley, the American Motor Show, which was twice a day back then, and WRJN's first news director, Don Edmark. More than 90 years of WRJN on the air with tomorrow's newscast as well, and this Sunday, 8 in the morning, tune in for a half-hour anniversary special. WRJN.com, that's our webpage, and that's where we keep our newscasts throughout the day. It's in the local news section. At WRJN News, we'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.